Psalm 93. Psalm 93. I'll be honest with you. I've got my lessons ready about three psalms in advance. And this afternoon I was looking. Good night. And I keep a ring notebook with me all the time to what I'm doing and everything. And I was looking, good night. I'm pretty sure I finished Psalm 92. But I went back on Psalm 92 and it says October the 17th. And I said, good night. That's when I started that thing. I went back and I realized that Brother Chapel was here preaching. Brother Norris was here preaching to our Thanksgiving supper. And I was gone this Wednesday. So, we are in Psalm 93. Whether we miss some or not, we're going to Psalm 93. And let's stand and read God's Word. There are only five verses in Psalm 93. Powerful. When you really look at it and you really study it, it comes out to be some pretty powerful thoughts here. And I hope you be careful as you read it tonight. I want you to look at it when we read, okay? Look at it when we read Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Can I just pull over and park? This has nothing to do with service tonight, but you know, God has always been. There's no beginning, no ending. We also know that God had angels. And at one time before the beginning that we know of, in the beginning God created heavens and the earth, before that, Satan and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven. Thinking about that, we don't know what went on before us. We do know Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved, and you know. But you always kind of wonder what in the world happened before that, don't you? But it's not ours to think, really. God gives us enough to get us in trouble with anyway, you bet. So there's a lot of people that, you know, the world that God created, we figure about 6,000 years old. And we can go back to Adam that lived 930 years, Methuselah's 960, and you can go through that generation, go up to Abraham. And you can take those generations, you can figure out how old they are. I've got a chart up in my office where it shows how the men overlapped. And some of Noah's boys could have known Adam. Kind of interesting. And so kind of amazing. Well, anyway, verse 2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up. O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. I'm sure the folks in New York and the East Coast heard some mighty roaring seas. And when they're roaring, the din is so loud you can't stand it. And I don't care how big a wave you are, you can't outshout God. Amen. Thy testimony are very sure. Anytime we just come into the testimony, they're talking about the Word of God, God's Word. Are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Father, I ask you tonight, you'd speak to our hearts as we look into the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, all Sunday school, all adult Sunday school will be up here on Sunday morning. There is no title for this psalm. A lot of our psalms begin with like Psalm 92, a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. Some of the other psalms have titles, but this one does not. Many believe that links to Psalm, that it therefore links to Psalm 92, part of it. Actually, it is the first series of a remarkable theocratic psalm. In other words, the Psalm 95 through 100, these are psalms which magnify Israel's theocracy. We are familiar with the standard form of government we have on earth. I don't know when you were going to school, but we had social studies and taught us different rules of government that had. And there are the autocratic government, governments that are headed by a strong man or a dictator. We have monarchic governments headed by a king with more or less absolute power. We have democratic governments, governments in which the people rule. In all history of the world, only Israel had a theocratic government, the form of government which there is no man appointed or self-appointed ruler, but rather a government dictated by God himself. From the beginning of history until the time of Samuel, this was Israel's sole form of government. But it failed. Not because God failed, but because Israel failed. And when the people demanded Samuel that they give them a king so they'd be like the rest of the nations around about them, that's pretty stupid. Why would you want something that doesn't work? Well, we want a king. Why? Well, because everybody else is doing it. I think that has to do a lot at home. Well, everybody else is doing it. And the Bible says that when Samuel heard that, and so that he might be like everybody else, the Bible said Samuel wept. And God said to him, "Hearken unto the voice of the people," there in 1 Samuel 8:7, "and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." There is, of course, a sense of monarchy, as it is, this is under Israel's constitution, was still essentially theocratic and characteristic. The ideal king viewed the throne, as David did, as the Lord's throne. And the king was merely God's temporary vice regent. His character and his calling were to be that of a shepherd or pastoring the people of God. Certainly David viewed the throne in that way. The nation was not a private preserve upon which a king could pray, but a pasture to be kept and cultivated for the God's flock. Even the northern kingdom of Israel, long after they had severed all the ties of Jerusalem and the throne of David, in the days when the weakest and the most wicked king reigned, King Ahab. People, for the longest time, I didn't understand this. I was in college, and I cut up in college, didn't understand what it was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom and Israel and Jerusalem, and I didn't really have a hard we're having a hard time with that. And I talked to one of the professors. He said, when Solomon's son Rehoboam did not take the advice of the old men, and he took the advice of the young men and says, My little finger is going to be fatter than my father's thigh, and I'm going to really tax you. I'm going to really put the screws to you. That's really what he said. 10 tribes says enough of that, and they had civil war, and he split off. 2 tribes, tribe of Judah, Benjamin stayed together, and then the other 12 tribes, other 10 tribes. The 2 tribes, Jerusalem is still their capital. The northern kingdom, or what we call Israel, took Samaria as their capital. And of course, all the kings that ever came through the northern tribe, not one of them were good. Not a one of them. Every one of them were bad. And every one of them were just ruthless and against doing what things God wanted to do. Now, Judah was not. They had some good kings, Hezekiah, some of the other kings that ruled were good men. They loved the Lord, and they wanted the Lord's presence in there. But you remember the story of Ahab, where he wanted to buy a piece of property just outside the palace there. And he went to him, Nabal. But Nabal said, "No, I cannot sell you this. It's not mine to sell. It's my inheritance from God." And Nabal just told him, stood right up, said, "I can't sell. It's not mine to sell." And as you know, and I know, that the property was to be passed on generation. That's how the 12 tribes were supposed to stay linked together. And, of course, he came in, and he's all upset. And you remember the story. Ahab did not dare to take it by force. Why? Because he still understood there were certain laws that he couldn't cross. Because, boy, you cross that one, God's going to get you. Amen. You know, there are certain laws that God gives us. We're in the age of grace. And there are certain things that God has, just seems like he's letting slide. He's not letting slide. He's not letting us slide. The Bible said everybody's going to die, and then there's going to be a judgment. The Bible talks about the Christian. We're going to go before the Bema seat. Things we've done good, the things we've done bad in our bodies. The great white throne judgment, of course, is those for those who did not accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But there's a judgment here, and he was unwilling to go against it. But Jezebel, his pagan wife, she had no scruples. She didn't believe in the testimony of the law of the Word of God. And she was astonished that her husband, the king, had this limitation on his power. What are you talking about? And she had no such concept of sovereignty. She arranged for the stubborn subject to be murdered and presented the king with a coveted vineyard for his herbs. And shutting his eye to the crime, Ahab went down to inspect that ill-gotten land. And guess who met him? The prophet of God, Elijah. And he realized that he had just sealed his own death warrant. Elijah says, "The dogs are going to lick your blood." I heard an old preacher preaching. He said, every time old Ahab heard a dog barking, he jumped. Amen. He knew the preacher telling the truth. The theocracy in Israel was but a shadow of God intended for his people. He had been shelved for the time being, but God is not through with it. And he intends to restore the theocracy during the millennium reign, when the Lord Jesus, the second person of Godhead, will reign directly over Israel and through Israel over all the earth. And by the way, we will reign with him. Amen. You and I get to reign with him. And you know what's neat about the reigning of them? Is that we will know what men are thinking. Wouldn't that be great for you parents to know what your child is thinking? Have you ever said, "What were you thinking about?" How many ever heard that? Yeah. They don't know exactly. I was just down at my grandkids' house. Had a wonderful time. Every once in a while, one of them little rascals would cause the other child to scream, yell, scream. I mean, my hearing aids had a meltdown one day. My eyeballs went. That little one, boy, and she screamed, but she has to. She has three of them that are taken after her, amen. And Wouldn't it be nice to go up and say, okay, Will, I know what you did. Okay, John, I know. Okay, Emma, I know what you did. And okay, Kate, I know what you're thinking. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for you ladies to know what your husband is thinking? I hear a lot of complaining going on right now. How about wouldn't it be a wonderful thing your husband knew what you were thinking? One of these days, during the millennial, we will know what we will judge with perfect hearts, amen, perfect minds, and we'll know exactly. We'll know exactly. By the way, whether you like it or not, God knows exactly what you're doing, and He is recording everything you're doing right now. Amen. Wow. The psalmist anticipates that day, and it is a theocratic in character and content, and it is prophetic. It is light are going to examine it. That's how we're going to look at this psalm and that light. We're going to examine it. It's a short psalm, but it's got some tremendous truth. Jewish people will sing just such a psalm when Jesus comes to rescue their beleaguered Israel from the beast and masses might of the world. This massive might of the world. Everybody's heading for Israel. Whether we like it or not, Russia's coming. China's coming. The Bible talks about the land of the rising sun. Japan. Talk about coming through Babylon. Iran, Iraq. Pretty interesting stuff, amen. Yet, it is not only a historical context, but this theocratic psalm seemed to be born out of restoration. It also could have been brought during the time of Babylonian captivity. There was not, of course, a complete restoration and theocracy because the reborn nation was under a Gentile control, but it was partial restoration. The excitement of the Jews who came back to reclaim the promised land, the name of God, no doubt gave rise to the outburst of praise. First of all, I want you to look at the times are held by Him. Verse 1 and 2. You can't understand how Jews of the restoration would believe that. There have been twofold miracles. There had been the providential miracle. A great world power had came in and destroyed Babylon, the Babylonians. Cyrus, the Persian. Incredible thing. I think of this many times when I think of our president. And we ought to pray for our president. Pray desperately for our president. If he is not saved, I beg God that God save him and turn his heart. That man could do something really amazing. He is a tremendous manipulator. He's a tremendous speaker. You like it or not, buddy, he can rouse the masses. He just did. He got elected another 4 years. I see so many bumper stickers that are not for him, but are for what was that guy's name we're running? Forgot already. Amazing. Yeah. I don't see too many Obama stickers. President Obama stickers. How in the world he could ever turn the masses to do it. But he did it. And by the way, God is in control. You listen to me. God raises up and tears down. Amen. And if he allowed God to get a hold of his life, I think he's powerful enough that he could do some great things. Cyrus was a Gentile, ungodly man, idolatrous, just despicable man, but all of a sudden, something clicked in his heart. And he said, okay, Jews, go on home, and we'll give you money to build back your place. Don't tell me that God can't do what he wants to do. And I hear so many people so afraid about the finances and this and that. By the way, I didn't start tithing because I was getting a good paycheck. I tithe because the Bible says so.
Amen.
I don't come to church because of convenience and the cheap gas. I come because God tells me not forsake the assembling of ourselves, the manner some is. The new regime proved itself astonishingly liberal, especially the Jewish people. Its king, flushed with victory, magnificently signed a mandate for them to return to Palestine and back with arms of imperial power. Not only are you going by yourself, but we're sending you guards to go with you. Isn't that amazing? You know, God can still do. He's the same God. There has been prophetical miracles and even greater wonders. All this is prophesied by Isaiah.
Amen.
Well over a century before. He actually named the great liberator, and Jeremiah had given the date when it would happen. So no wonder this singer could see the time and see the hand of God. Trouble is, we don't know our Bible well enough to say, wow, if you knew your Bible well enough today, you'd be so excited about the days we're living in today. Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
You say, when? Jesus said, only the Father knows. It's not my reason to pick a day. But I'll tell you what, it should be my reason to pick a lifestyle that I'll be living that Jesus would come back in. Amen. I want to be making sure that I'm ready to go. I want to make sure that my tithes are all paid. Boy, before I left for South Carolina, I wrote up my tithes for both. I mean, what I got, what went in there. Amen. I was tithed tonight. Church gave me a little money when I was down there preaching. I tithe for that, amen. I told the deacons one time, we were having a deacon meeting, finance the deacon meeting. I says, anytime you give me a raise, man, you get 20% back of it, amen. That's a pretty good deal. Hat man. You be tithing. I don't care. Go look at my records. Ask Mrs. Hobbs. Look what I give. More you give, more you love. More you invest in. That had nothing to do with the sermon. Just thought I'd just throw that little man out to you. Amen. We're going to carry this psalm forward and going to fulfill it and reestablish the theocracy government and coming to Christ. The Jews, such as are left of them at the end of the Great Tribulation, will see both the providential and the prophetic in its miraculous deliverance by the king greater far than Cyrus the Persian. Also, I want you to look at the expression of the full sovereignty. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. God has visibly stepped down into the arena of human affairs in the person of the Lord Jesus, and deliberately taken the administration of earth affairs into his own hands. It's his. You know, you send somebody out to do something for you, and it's really not getting done what you want to do, so you just come and say, I'll take care of it. Is that okay to do? Of course it is okay to do. Somebody in not going to do it. Let's get somebody in who can do it, amen. Self-coronation is rare. It is exception of self-created and self-manifested power. There's one arrogant example. His name, Napoleon. In 1799, Napoleon abolished what was left of the government of France, derived from the French Revolution. He set up a new government with three members, called the Consulate. And he had himself proclaimed as what? First consulate. Not satisfied with that, he began to undermine all government powers, which did not lie in his own hand. In 1804, the French Senate voted him the title of emperor. This is what he said. When I see an empty throne, I feel this urge to sit on it. For his coronation, the new emperor chose Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. He summons the Pope to come and perform the honors. Listen to this. At the last moment, just as the Pope was about to place the crown on Napoleon's head, John Phillips says, the fat little dictator seized it from him and crowned himself just to show that he personally had won the right to wear it, and he owed nothing to Rome. He's making a statement here now. And then he turns around and crowned Josephine, the empress. But Napoleon was only a tyrant. For all his military geniuses and statesmanship, in the end, England defeated him at sea and joined with a few others to tear him from the European throne. And Napoleon proclaimed himself king, robed himself with majesty, and died in lonely exile at St. Helena, never out of sight of the British warships, which he had halted his ambitions, who have patrolled his prisons. But one of those days, one of these days, Jesus Christ is coming again. He is going to overthrow what is left of the great world revolution, the monstrous tyrants, the beasts, the sovereign right. He will proclaim himself king and robe himself with majesty, and he will do that because he owes his world empire to nobody but himself, and because no human authority can be set over him to crown him, he will cry to himself and robe himself and turn to his beloved, the church, and invest her with a rank and robes of royalty as well. That's us. That just gets me all tickled when I study that. Boy, I tell you, it's an amazing thing. We're going to be robed. We're going to be robed. And we'll be majesty with him. Exclamation of fresh stability of earth. Look here. The Lord reigneth. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Moral order in such chaos on the earth is now restored, for Jesus will reign with a rod of iron and a firm, unfaltering hand. The tiny remnant of Jews and Gentiles who will enter into the millennial kingdom will heave a sigh of relief. At last, there's strong, stable government on earth. I don't know about you, but we're sure looking for that. Amen here?
Amen.
Not going to be here. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. It is not going to be stable. I don't care if you elect the smartest and the greatest president in the world. He is not going to be able to do it. Sorry. Oh, we just had Mitt. Oh, we just had George. No. I'm a citizen of heaven. While I'm here, I should exercise my rights and do everything I can, everything in my power to do my best to keep my country, to be the salt of my country. Amen? But there is certain things you cannot do. Do you understand how many billions of dollars were spent on the last election to vote your presidential candidate into office? Do you understand that? Sure would have helped with the big debt that our country had to say, hey, just go 4 more years and everybody put their money in the pot. Amen? Wouldn't that be great? Very little stability in government. Was it stable when Nebuchadnezzar was the president of his country? The world government? No. Daniel talked about the government as a part of clay and part of iron. What a fitting symbol could be the iron and the clay. By nature, they refuse to mingle. The mixture of strength and weakness which marks the Western democracy, dictatorship, far too better. For eventually they end in rebellious war, don't they? Jesus will bring fresh stability to earth. He will found an empire which will stretch from pole to pole, from sea to sea. It will last beyond challenge for 1,000 years, 1,000 years of peace, prosperity, and progress. Then I want you to look at the exposure of the false suppositions of men. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The communists, they've marched year after year under this slogan, time is on our side. That's what communists keep saying. Time's on our side. You know what? Wrong again. They're wrong. Time is on God's side. He has all the time at his disposal. He said, 1,000 years like a day to him. He woke to his own faultless timetable. He works at it, man. He never's in a hurry, and he's always outlined other empires. He will outlive the Roman Empire and the Russian Empire and the Muslims and the Arabs and the Chinese and the Asians. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we have a God that's going to take care of this thing for us? Amen. Hey, you don't have to stay up waiting all night worrying about what's going on. Man, I was sitting up for a while watching that lecture and I finally said, psst. Didn't do anything about it anyway. I went down and cast my vote, amen. Some of them guys still saying it's George Bush's problem. Give me a break. Get on with life.
Amen.
God has driven His proud share through the great empires in which has written earth defy Him. The Egyptian Empire, they waxed great and wanted, but they waned in history in hundreds upon hundreds of years. Great scholars, great physicians, you read all kinds of things about it. The Aztecs. Some think that the Aztecs are far greater in intelligence than the Egyptians. Problem is, the Aztecs, when you became a war hero, then they'd throw you off this top of the thing and kill you. Anybody that ever won anything, they killed them. Boy, that's a blessing, amen. I ain't going to win. I tell you what, that'll change the kid's behavior at home when he doesn't win, amen. All right, you win, throw him out, amen. All right. You think of in Hopset, the architects of the first pyramid. He was removed from Abraham as Nero was from us. Where's the Egyptian pharaohs today? We can find bits and pieces in British empires, and Cairo Museum. You see scrapes of collection throughout the world. Where are they? What about the Syrian Empire and the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire and the Greek and the Roman? They're all gone. Great British Empire. You still see a few ghosts out there that still haunt the world by British Commonwealth of nations, but that empire is no more. By the way, God was there then, and God is here today,
amen.
And God's throne is forever.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm on the winning side.
Amen.
I'm glad that I can be confident tonight as I lay my tired old head on my pillow and wiggle my toes for the last time before I go sleep. And to know that God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And He will never leave me nor forsake me. I may have to go through some things. But I'm just getting closer to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm just going through a few things. I got 3 minutes. Buckle your seatbelts. The tempest is harsh by Him. The tempest is hushed by Him. The psalmist looks to the end of the ages. Awesome power of the nation. The flood has lifted up. O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves. He sees the nations rise, hears them roar, watches them rage, and He sees the nations as they have been throughout the long reach of history, but practically, there's an end. It's practical. Just prior to the time of Christ's return, the nations will rise up one more final time, seething the cauldron of hate. Hate of each other, hatred for Israel, hatred for God. The beast's global empire will begin to disintegrate. The enemies of the East will mobilize against Him. March westward to destroy Babylon. Across the Euphrates and move towards Megiddo. The armies of the West will mobilize as well, like the frustrated Antiochus Epiphanes of old. The Antichrist of tomorrow will seize Jerusalem and begin to systematically program at eliminating the Jews. Ain't going to happen.
Amen.
And before marching into Megiddo to settle the account with the East, not even an impending crisis in His affair will stop Him from His last act of anti-Semitic hatred. The nation will rise like a storm-tossed sea. There will be a reason why Israel is seen as the land in symbolic scripture and the nation of the troubled sea. There's a reason why Israel said, "Woe to the multitude of the many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas and the rushing of the nations that make a rushing like the rushing mighty waters." Isaiah 17:12. Might be a good idea to just look that up. I don't know about you, but my son's working on that new Marines just said they're going to use F-35. And I guess they make a lot of noise, amen? Poets and psalmists alike, they see the final raising of the Gentile sea against the heartland of Israel in one last furious attempt to submerge God's ancient people forever. Ain't going to happen. That's not good English, but it's the truth. It's amazing what's going to happen. I got to quit. Time to stop. Father in heaven, I